I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. We're talking today about B vitamins, and we've been sitting here talking about different titles to title it.
I liked mine.
What was yours?
To be or not to be, B vitamins.
Okay, we'll go with that. Oh, the things that we... So, that's our title. So today we're talking about B vitamins, Dr. Prather. And thanks for that title. Shakespeare.
You don't seem to be really thanking me for the title. I think you said corny before.
I did say corny. We need to have those listeners take a vote.
Yeah, there
Maybe
we go.
Maybe they come up with our, with
come
our
up
titles.
With a better title, yeah.
We get the content, it's the titles.
Right.
All right. Well, what are B vitamins?
Well, the B vitamins are water soluble. And, of course, you know, as you're talking about B vitamins, there's quite a few B vitamins.
Now, when you say, yeah, and we're going to talk about that water soluble, but how many B vitamins?
How many B vitamins are there? Well, it depends on who you talk to, but actually, officially, when they were first counting them out, there were 18. So, you know, they were very original in how they named them, B1, B2, to be or not to be.
All the way up to B18.
B18.
Okay.
All right.
So why were they called B vitamins?
Because they found vitamin A first, and then they found vitamin B second. They were really just getting into it. So you know.
And then C. No, then, wait. Okay, B.
Yeah, they got...
Now you're really confusing me.
I'm really confusing you. Well, first they found them, and they did number them. Well, they did letter them. A, B, C, D, E.
Okay.
So they were actually going along those lines as they were finding the B vitamins, you know, all the vitamins.
Yeah.
But then they found out that the B vitamins, that there were different kinds. So they started calling them B1, B2, B3, et cetera.
Up
so
to 18.
How they? Yeah, they were very original on their thought process on that.
Now we've done a vitamin A show, right? And we've done some the fat soluble vitamin D
and vitamin E.
Okay.
We haven't done vitamin K yet, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. That's a fat soluble.
A, D, and E.
Okay.
Very important vitamins. And then we're getting into the B vitamins, because there's quite a bit to, obviously, you know, with everything that's 18 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are actually, some of them aren't, well, we'll get into that when we get into each one.
Okay.
Okay.
So, what does water soluble mean?
Well, if you have a fat soluble, what happens is you can store it in your body. So if you get vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and it can actually last you for a little while if you get enough in your system, or you can actually become toxic with the vitamins. So there's an advantage and a disadvantage. For the B vitamins, you have to have a steady supply. So if a very common thing is maintaining your B vitamins, because you can get great amount one day and then not get enough the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that counts against you. So water-soluble vitamins, one, it's much harder for them to become toxic because you can excrete them, but then you have to keep up with the supply on a regular basis to maintain the health benefits of the B vitamins.
And that's what water... I always think you can pee them out.
Correct.
That's
where that came from. And some of them you can really tell that you've been peeing them out because you get a nice bright
yellow.
Yeah.
So are vitamins really necessary?
Yes. You know, when they first started getting into the vitamins, there was a great deal of excitement because there was a strong belief that we had found the underlying cause of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a very strong philosophy especially in structure function, that's a necessary part of the health benefits of a very important part of health, and it is actually considered a very important part of the CDC and the World Health Organization is making sure that people get a proper amount of other vitamins. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, that's one of the major things that they look at. National Institute of Health, the World Health Organizations, has special divisions on how to make sure that people get the proper vitamins into their diet so that the prevalence of disease decreases. Because there's a very strong correlation with people's adequacy on their vitamins and their overall health and well-being. Mm-hmm. It's something that isn't really emphasized quite a bit in America, and especially as you go to the doctor. A lot of them say, oh, vitamins, it's not a big deal. Well, it really was a big deal. A lot of people died, and still a lot of people in third world countries die because of lack of vitamins. One of the things that's very true in America is there's a lot of supplementation with vitamins. Vitamin A, vitamin D is in milk to make sure that we get the proper amount. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of B vitamins that are added to foods. Folic acid is one of the more important ones. It really helps to cut down on the infectious rate that we have. But as we're going to be talking about a lot of these vitamins, when you're talking about something that if you don't get enough vitamins, it can be life-threatening. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get enough vitamins, it does cause degeneration in your body that eventually can lead to a shorter life or a more unhealthy life. And that's one of the things that we have found as we're doing our functional medicine, is finding out what vitamins you need. And oftentimes we can really solve a lot of the health issues that people are experiencing with getting just their vitamin levels up to par. And then all of a sudden these things that were mysterious that weren't really resolving, or they were taking quite a few medications for, all of a sudden resolved and they no longer had the issue. Mm-hmm. Getting to the underlying root. Mm-hmm. And vitamins, the way that you can be classified as a vitamin is that it is a vital to your health and well-being. If you don't have it, you die, is basically what it comes down to. And if you don't have enough, you get into disease and poor functioning of your system.
Now, how long ago were vitamins discovered? I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, it's actually, in the early 1900s is mm-hmm. when the very exciting world of vitamins opened up. And it was a major discovery, really gave them a lot of a push for saying, hey, we can really resolve a lot of the health issues that people are experiencing by working and isolating these vitamins and making sure that we get those into the dietary, and then solving a lot of the health crisis that we had. And it has really made a huge difference mm-hmm. In being able to maintain our health and well-being.
It still does.
Still does.
Did it mean vitamins mean vitamineral or?
Right, right.
I was listening.
Yes, you were. So what they thought is that they were minerals that they weren't aware of mm-hmm. In small amounts that were necessary to health and well-being. So whenever they would isolate them, and then they would do experiments with animals and be able to reproduce certain diseases that people were experiencing, mm-hmm. They said, these are vital minerals. And so they shortened them to vitamins. Then they found out that they weren't minerals, but they still kept the term mm-hmm. vitamin. There wasn't a lot of originality on that.
So why can't we get all this from our foods, get our daily needs from foods?
That is one of the big things that people, of course, talk about. And it is ideal to get it from your food. Mm-hmm. If you can get all your requirements along those lines, that's the best way to do it, and is the most recommended way. However, people don't.
Mm-hmm. One, good luck with that, right?
Yeah, there's several reasons why. Our food quality isn't really up to par. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of whenever you do a chemical farming, like what we're doing nowadays, it stresses the plants. It's enough to grow the plant, but not enough for the plant to be really healthy, to have all the vitamins and minerals in it that it needs. So there's a deficiency in the plants themselves that occurs. And definitely whenever they test out organic versus non-organic, there's a higher vitamin mineral within the organic foods than there is in non-organic. Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect. And then even before the chemical, a lot of people died from vitamin deficiencies because they weren't eating enough of the foods to actually qualify to get their daily nutritional requirements in. Mm-hmm. So it's something that is a definite problem, and very few people really meet their vitamin and mineral requirements in their foods. That's actually rather rare. Mm-hmm. People have to really work at it, and quite frankly, people don't really work at it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Now, mm-hmm. one of the things when we're talking about supplementation, there's several different kinds. You know, there's synthetic, which is one thing that we use, mm-hmm. But we also use a lot of food groups. So we know that liver has a very high level of vitamins in it that really meets a lot of the requirements. The gentleman who started Standard Process said, you know, I could feed the world with liver, beets, beet tops, and yellow vegetables, mm-hmm. and really get all the requirements that are necessary. So he concentrated those foods, put them into capsules, and then we give people that way. So when I say, hey, you need to have liver, and people make really funny faces, so what we do is we have capsules that have concentrated liver in it, very organic, high nutrient quality, and then give it to them.
Mm-hmm. So. That'd be boring, just eat liver, beet tops, beets, and what was the other one?
And yellow vegetables.
Yellow vegetables.
Just depends on how you make them. I've made a beet salad for you.
Yeah.
You loved
it. Oh, yeah, I liked it. But I'm saying, you know.
If that's the only things you ate all the time. Right, yeah. I understand.
All right, when we come back, more on to be or not to be B vitamins.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What is auricular therapy, Dr. Prather?
Auricular therapy is where you're using the ear to make some changes throughout the body. And the basic area that you're looking at is the brain. Auricular therapy usually refers to electrical stimulation of the ear. You have ear acupuncture, where you're using needle. Auricular therapy is a little bit different because you're using microcurrent on the ear in very specific types of settings to make changes in the entire body.
This is one, Dr. Prather, one of the most powerful therapies we do in my eyes, and would you agree with that also?
I would. It can have some far-reaching effects on people and can make some dramatic changes.
And I want to spell it for people because most of our listeners probably haven't heard of auricular therapy.
People shouldn't feel bad about that because a lot of doctors don't know about auricular therapy.
A-U-R-I-C-U-L-O therapy.
Which just means ear therapy. Dr. Norget, a Frenchman in the 1950s, is the one who brought auricular therapy into science. One of his main things was he helped to map the brain. He was a neurosurgeon. He started to do a lot of scientific study on the brain waves, the ears, and then mapped the brain and the ear points and how they related, and was able to come up with a whole system of auricular therapy, electrical stimulation of the ear along with acupuncture, to produce changes in people's health. So what we're doing with the auricular therapy is really rewiring the central computer. The ear is the conduit to the brain. We can hit different points on the ear and we can immediately show changes in the brain patterns. It used to be that you had to take off people's skull to actually measure that.
We don't do that.
We don't do that. Now they actually have MRI imaging that will actually show the changes immediately in the brain, and you can see exactly what's happening. with the auricular therapy. Matter of fact, auricular therapy is the most proven therapy in the entire world. You can get direct correlation between the stimulation of the ear points and the changes within the brainwave activity. What we're trying to do with auricular therapy is to balance out the brain and the brain function. Very, very important part, because of course that tells the rest of the body what to do. You don't have the brain balanced, you're not going to have the proper effects and the proper health in the rest of the body.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effect Stool Kit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effect Stool Kit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're talking today about vitamin B, and there are 18 vitamin Bs.
As they originally put them in.
There again, I'm listening.
Aren't you?
And
amazing?
We're going to talk about vitamin B1. What is vitamin B1?
Vitamin B1 is also called thiamine. So
wow,
that's
and
the,
I've heard that.
Right. So it's one that we prescribe for people, mm-hmm. and we check on. You know, we can do blood tests to find out if someone has a proper amount on that. Also, as people show up different signs and symptoms, then that would be one thing that we'd be looking at. Because when you're starting to talk about each of the different vitamins, they have different characteristics on their deficiencies, mm-hmm. and can really show up what's going on in the system. And then we can say, you know what, this looks like a thiamine deficiency. Let's do a blood test and find out if that's a deficiency, and then get that fixed on someone.
So what functions does vitamin B1 or thiamine do in our bodies? What kind of function?
Well, it's very important for blood formation. So one of the things that can occur is anemia, mm-hmm. As a deficiency of vitamin B1 thiamine. It also is critical to be able to make hydrochloric acid. So if you have a deficiency in hydrochloric acid, then that will be one thing that we would be looking at as a possibility of a deficiency in B1, along with some other things. And hydrochloric acid is very important. If you are low on hydrochloric acid, your chances of having allergies increase by three times over mm-hmm. what it would normally be. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, if we can get the hydrochloric acid work, one, people don't need their Tums and all the other things, because usually it's a deficiency in hydrochloric acid, not too much hydrochloric acid, that people are having problems.
Okay.
It's interesting, as you're looking at the stomach, the same cells that make hydrochloric acid also make the mucus lining of the stomach. So if those are not working properly, the parietal cells, then you start to have a deficiency in the hydrochloric acid, but even more of a deficiency in the mucus acid covering the stomach, and then people start to complain about acid stomach,
mm-hmm.
and gastric
reflux. Like an acid reflux.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's actually more of a deficiency. And vitamin B1 can be the cause of it. So a lot of people are taking different types of medicines that are solved by taking vitamin B1 instead of taking the pharmaceutical medicine.
I mean, they could throw those Tums out.
Tums.
They started with vitamin B1.
And then it's also very important for energy metabolism. Carbohydrate metabolism, you have to have that, which affects growth and appetite. So one of the things that would show up with thiamine deficiency is that the children wouldn't grow properly. So a lack of growth could be a thiamine deficiency. So one of the things that we've seen is that we've had kids who came in who weren't, their parents came in because their height wasn't high enough. And so what we did was we found out that they had a thiamine deficiency, usually with some other B vitamins, gave that in, and that can really boost a child's growth. In the same way, it can also affect appetite. If you're low on thiamine, you don't feel like you're hungry. And kids who, you know, like you got a kid that just won't eat, it can be just a thiamine deficiency that could be kicking that off. Also, neurological activity, your brain function. Matter of fact, it is one of the things that is used quite often for autism to improve function, and has had a tremendous amount of effect along those lines. It also improves learning and memory. So kids that, if you want to improve their grades, make sure that they are have enough thiamine in their diet is a very important part. And then it's very important for the function of smooth muscles. So smooth muscles, and the most important one is the heart. So if you're lacking thiamine, then your heart is actually starts to break apart. And there can be a lot of health issues that kick off with that. Can lead to congestive heart failure. Some of the signs of that is that circulation starts to go down. You get swelling in the ankles. So it affects that quite a bit. And then also B1 is also an antioxidant. When we talked about free radicals, that's another way of fighting against the free radical pathology. So besides that, it really doesn't have too much of an effect on the body.
It has a lot of effect. How many people that you see coming in have a deficiency of B1 or thiamine?
We usually, well, probably about 25% actually show up that they're low on vitamin B1. So it's a pretty high number.
And then you find that through blood work?
We can find that through blood work, yes.
Interesting. Now, is beriberi common in the United States, and what is beriberi?
Well, deficiency signs. When you're talking about those types of things, basically what they do is if you get really deficient in vitamin B1, that's called beriberi. So that's a disease.
There's a disease.
There's a disease that actually occurs with vitamin B1, and they had called it beriberi, not realizing that it was just a vitamin deficiency. So people would get fatigue, anorexia, weight loss, gastrointestinal disorders, stunted growth, heart abnormalities, fluid retention, cyanosis, poor memory. And they would also lose their hair. So one of the things that we would see that people come in is oftentimes when they're low on B1, they the big thing that they're talking about is my hair is thinning out. Also, if somebody comes in and says my hair is thinning out, I have a lot of fatigue, I'm got gastric problems, I've got swelling in my feet, I have a tremendous amount of fatigue, then we sit there and say, that's a real good, that's a low-level beriberi disease process, probably a thiamine deficiency. We start to get that back into the system, and it starts to pop up, in their health starts to pop up, the heart starts working better. And a lot of people, you know, as you get older, thiamine deficiency, a lot of the vitamin deficiencies really become accentuated at that time. So the you know, you've got times where you're actually more susceptible to these. One is when you're a child and growing quickly. Because you're vitamin, you know, you can become vitamin deficiency through If you've ever noticed, like, two-year-olds don't eat real well.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little picky.
Uh-huh.
And what is real good for them usually is not what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can get vitamin, and then they have a higher need because they're growing quite a bit. Their brain's developing, all that. So B1 is a very common deficiency. Pregnancy. The needs for a woman become much, much higher because you're making a baby. And then also as you get older, your diet isn't as good. You don't spend the time cooking. And vitamin deficiencies become very common at that time. So all those things start to occur. And a lot of the things that we see in as people get older is mainly a vitamin deficiency, not really necessarily getting older.
Interesting. What age would that be?
It depends on each person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can keep up your nutrition, keep up all your stuff, then you can actually, you can really, a lot of the signs of being older just don't seem to occur.
Mm-hmm. So, if you're having fatigue, and when should you get concerned about fatigue? You've talked about this before.
Well, you know, if it's on a daily basis, and you've had it for, you know, really for about 4 weeks to 6 weeks where you just can't seem to get over it,
mm-hmm.
There's something wrong.
Okay.
And that it's usually something that can
even
be fixed.
If you're older.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're older, you need to get it checked.
Well, what are some sources of vitamin B1?
Well, pork is a real good source. Mm-hmm. Beef, liver, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Brewer's yeast is excellent for vitamin B1. Whole grains, and we really differentiate whole grains versus processed grains. Really going for the whole grains is what people really need to go for. Brown rice, legumes, and egg yolks.
Hmm. Interesting. So what's the optimal intake of vitamin B1?
Well, it's really between 5 and 10 milligrams. Now that there's a difference between optimal intake and RDA. RDA is the very basic minimum mm-hmm. that you need. What you really should be taking is about 5 to 10 milligrams. Now, interestingly enough, an alcoholic needs about 50 milligrams.
Wow, 5 times the amount.
5 times of the normal amount mm-hmm. because of the stress on the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things is that the more stressors, and alcohol has a very particular stressor on vitamin B1. That's why a lot of the signs of alcoholism, you know, with the changes in the heart condition, is basically because of a B1 deficiency.
Mm.
That's
so
a big factor.
Important, you know, for, and you talked about anorexia too. There can be a physiological reason.
We have had many, many young ladies who came in who are anorexic. One of the first things we look for is a zinc deficiency, but the second thing that we look for is a thiamine deficiency.
Mm. And is there any toxicity or, you know, by taking too much of B1?
No. You really can't. It's water soluble. Really, you can't really hurt yourself with it.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we're going to tackle vitamin B2.
All right.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
Went to the allergy clinic. They said, we're going to give you 15 shots in your arm. I'm like, what a happy place. But I thought I'd be alone for that. I wasn't. I was in a big room. We're all getting shots at the same time. I'm the only adult. It's all little kids. So after all the screaming and begging for mercy, the doctor said to me, please, you're scaring the children.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about vitamin Bs.
Bees.
Plural.
Yes.
And we just finished talking about B1, thiamine.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to talk about vitamin B2. What is vitamin B2 called?
Riboflavin.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about, you know, when they discovered these vitamins in the early 1900s, and then now they're put in a lot of our foods. It's interesting, though, you look, they'll all be listed, and they could say 0%.
Well, that's because they have 0% in there.
So why do they list them?
But they, one of the things is they are required by law.
Okay.
This is far more important to people's health than what they realize.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things as parents or, you know, as people who are trying to take care of themselves, really be thinking about, am I getting my vitamins and minerals, and is my food really, am I getting the maximum quality on those? And to be honest with you, you know, we do not find when we test out vitamins and minerals that people are okay with them. Nobody shows up.
That comes in the doors.
Right.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. most of the people who are coming into our office are more health conscious than the average American.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine what's going on and why we have such a health crisis is because we're not really conscious of our health
mm-hmm.
and taking in what we need to.
So what function does vitamin B2 or riboflavin play in the body?
Well, just a quick little thing as we're talking about riboflavin,
mm-hmm.
is riboflavin is the second most common vitamin deficiency.
Of all vitamins?
Of all the vitamins.
Ah.
So it is a very, very common one, and very few people actually show up that they're taking in enough riboflavin.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're talking about this, this is affecting a tremendous amount of the people out there. And one of the big reasons that is almost guaranteed that you're going to be low on riboflavin is if you're taking oral contraceptives.
Mm.
Oral contraceptives is going to guarantee that you are going to be low on riboflavin. And so a lot of the problems with the function that occurs on that, if you're taking oral contraceptives, which is females,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably going to, some of the things that are in this can actually definitely be involved with your health.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's the one that makes your, if you take a multi-B vitamin, and if you've ever peed and then looked at it, it was bright yellow. Mm-hmm. It's the riboflavin that makes it yellow.
Ah, so, interesting.
So that's what's going on with that. But riboflavin, very important for energy production again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were talking about thiamine. If you're low on that, your energy is going to be low. If you're talking about riboflavin, your energy is going to be low. Fatty acid synthesis. So it also affects your fat-soluble vitamins. So it's going to cause A, D, E, and K to also be low if you're low on your riboflavin. So there's a chain effect that starts to occur. Also, B2 is very important to be able to absorb iron into your system. We've had a lot of women, especially, it's almost guaranteed if they're on oral contraceptives that they're going to be low on iron.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give them iron until the cows come home, and they're not going to get rid of their iron anemia until you also add riboflavin into it also. And then all of a sudden, they're absorbing their iron. So if you know, I've never seen a gal on birth control that wasn't iron deficient. So that's one of the things. Migraines and headaches. So we see that an awful lot.
Yes.
And we've had a lot of, especially women, that once we added the riboflavin into as a supplementation, especially if they were on oral contraceptives, that their migraines and headaches went away. So something to be thinking about if you're out there and you're suffering from migraines and headaches, especially if you're on birth control, probably it could be a riboflavin issue. Neonatal jaundice. Mom was deficient, and a lot of the reason that babies are born with jaundice is because mom didn't have enough riboflavin, because riboflavin needs jump very, very high when you're pregnant. So that's a big area. If you have sickle cell anemia, your need for riboflavin goes up quite a bit. Psychiatric symptoms. Having some imbalances along those lines. Riboflavin has a really big effect on that. Hair, skin, nails are also very important. So, you know, I've had a lot of women say, you know, I started on birth control and my nails are brittle and my hair isn't what it used to be. So, matter of fact, that's one of the more common reasons that women would go off of their birth controls, is because they don't like what's going on with their hair and their nails. Forget the migraines. I want to look good. Riboflavin helps out with that. Thyroid function. One of the reasons for a hypothyroid or an imbalance in the thyroid is riboflavin.
Like a hypothyroid?
Hypothyroid.
Or hypo, okay.
Diabetics, you have an increased need for riboflavin. Chronic heart disease needs more. Cataracts has a big effect with riboflavin. And one of the things is eyesight. Sensitivity to light has a big effect.
Yeah, you hear people that can have that sensitivity to light.
And, right.
Interesting. It covers a lot.
Covers a lot.
So what are deficiency signs of riboflavin?
Well, one of the things that you can always notice is cracks at the corner of the mouth. So we have people who come in and said, you know, I've got, or I notice, and I talk to them about the cracks at the corner of the mouth. And that's almost always a sign of riboflavin deficiency. So that's how much of an effect it can have. An inflamed tongue. So we've had people come in and I'm going in to examine them, and they sit there and say, "Doc, look at this," and they stick out their tongue at me,
just like you just did.
Yeah, and you appreciated that too, didn't you? And then I go, "Oh, okay. So we've got some B vitamin deficiency, probably riboflavin. Let's get that checked out." And get that taken care of, and all of a sudden that goes back into...
And you do that through blood tests also?
Blood tests, yes.
Okay.
Reddening of the eyes. So if they have constant, you know, my eyes are red, and I can't seem to, you know, I'm always doing Visine and other things trying to keep my eyes. Riboflavin deficiency is a sign of that. Vision problems. We had talked about the sensitivity to light, but quite a few vision problems also are very, very much a sign of riboflavin. Dermatitis, also a riboflavin. Nerve damage, because it has a big effect on neurotransmitters. And then malformations and retarded growth in children. Has a...
another one with growth.
Right. Yeah, all the B vitamins are very much involved with proper growth. So those are all signs of deficiencies.
So what are sources of riboflavin?
Our favorite organ meats.
Your
favorite.
And,
of course, liver. Interestingly, when you're talking about pack animals, the leader of the pack always gets the organ meats. It's considered the first thing that is to be eaten. And then the meat is the lesser is the pack. So the organs are basically what contains the most vitamins and minerals. And really, we should be eating organ meats instead of just the meat. Really, we should be going for that.
A lot of times they throw them out or...
Right, well, they use them for dog food and stuff like that, which, you know, that's why our dogs are healthier. It's like when we had our dog and we went to the vet. He says, well, you know, you need to make sure, you know, because we were talking about diet. He says, whatever you do, don't feed them human food because they'll die. Which is like, okay, what does that say about us?
Right.
You know, maybe we should be eating dog food instead. And, of course, it's highest in liver. So, milk products, whole grains, again, whole grains, good source of all the vitamins and minerals, green leafy vegetables, eggs, mushrooms, broccoli, asparagus, and fish.
Mm.
But the highest concentration is in liver.
In liver, again.
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 Liver.
So, what is the optimal intake?
10 to 15 milligrams.
Okay.
Is what should be, yeah.
A little more. Is there any toxicity associated with riboflavin?
There is no toxicity, except you're going to have a yellow toilet bowl. Because if you take in too much, you're just going to... what you can do is amaze your family and friends.
Uh-huh.
One thing you can do is, after you go pee, go ahead and turn out the light and put on one of those, you know, fluorescent, and then, you know, just...
Really, glow stick.
Yeah, glow. Yeah, so you got a glow toilet.
All right. Well, I got to stop you.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk on vitamin B3, and I can't find excited about these vitamins 1, 2, and 3. And
yeah, I know. It's actually more exciting than you think.
That's right. All right.
All right.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Why does the gut have such a big, you know, effect on our immune system?
Well, 80% of our immune system is around our gut, because that's where most infection actually comes from. People with immune system problems have to look to the gut. And when I'm talking about immune system problems, I'm talking about cancer. Cardiovascular disease is oftentimes kicked off by infections also. Free radical pathology that affects that. All autoimmune diseases have a huge effect because it's a imbalance within our immune system. You always have to look to the gut for that. And you're talking about Sjogren's disease, Graves' disease, Hashimoto's, rheumatoid arthritis, type 2 diabetes. All those types of things really are originating in the gut. So a lot of the chronic types of illnesses that people are actually experiencing, osteoarthritis actually originates basically in through the gut. So there is a huge amount of an impact, and to be able to really treat anyone with any of those diseases, you have to go to the gut, and if you are not going to the gut, you are not really treating that disease. So understanding that and finding out what the underlying problem, and many times when people are going from place to place, doctor to doctor, trying to understand and not getting answers for their disease process, then you have to go back to the gut oftentimes to find the hidden problem. Of course, that is a big problem because it's kind of a hidden area. You know, how do you actually analyze it? And with the BioGenome Project, they have been able to explode. It's almost like a brand new ability to do diagnostics, because now we can do genetic testing. And that testing will actually give us the information from the all the way up to the mouth, all the way down to the anus.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers the entire thing, and nothing is actually left out. So our ability to actually find out what's going on has just exploded.
Well, let's talk about this comprehensive stool kit you use called the GI Effects. And why is this one that you've chosen to use in your office?
The information that I get in there has really been so thorough that now we can, with confidence, be able to say exactly what's going on in the gut, and that we know what is happening. And also exactly how to treat it.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about vitamin Bs. And, you know, one thing I was thinking as we were talking, Dr. Prather, is I know you have a view on multivitamins. And, you know, I know what we do is we can find out specifically through the blood work where someone is out of balance in that. But what's your view on multivitamins?
Well, that can work out well, but it can also not work out well. Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, we're talking about thiamine and riboflavin. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're really good on your thiamine, but your riboflavin is really, really low. And you take a multiple vitamin with all the Bs. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Because you are high in your thiamine, you're going to absorb thiamine, but you're not going to absorb the riboflavin because you're low on it. Mm-hmm. In other words, you need it in your system to be able to prime the pump to pull it in. So the vitamins themselves, it can be something that if you get low on, it can maintain a low level because it doesn't. That's why you oftentimes need to really dose it real well to kind of force it into the system to get it normalized.
So, even though they're water soluble, huh?
Even though that they're water soluble.
Interesting. Okay, well, what is vitamin B3 called?
Niacin.
Niacin. Okay, I've heard of that. And what functions is niacin necessary for?
Again, energy production. Mm. The B vitamins are the big ones to keep your energy up.
And so why do you hear B injections a lot of?
Yes,
in
fact, we do B injections.
Yes, we do.
And one of the things is, matter of fact, I've done B injections. I know you've done the injections too.
I'm going to get in one tomorrow.
Right, because if all of a sudden I'm kind of running low, mm-hmm. Very busy, and as you get stressed and you get really busy, you actually burn up your B vitamins quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't been eating quite right that day, then you can all of a sudden get tired, get a B shot, and all of a sudden your energy pops up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, energy production. It also is very important for steroid compounds, which is your hormones. Mm. So it's very important for the body to be able to do that. Red blood cell formation, again, that can be a reason for anemia. Cognitive function. Especially as you get older, you know, being able to, if people start to get mixed up and, what they're considering dementia, it can just be a niacin deficiency and get that into their system. And all of a sudden, their cognition really pops up. Mood and memory and muscle strength.
Mm, interesting. Well, what are deficiency signs of niacin?
Well, they call low, if you get low on niacin, there's a disease called pellagra.
Ah.
And pellagra, of course, was named that before they knew that niacin actually caused it. But it is something that is still too common in the world. If you get severe deficiency, and people who are poor in third world countries have a lot of problems along those lines. But also you can get some of the pellagra symptoms in smaller amounts. So it's important to kind of have a recognition on that. So what we see is dermatitis is a big factor that occurs. Diarrhea, dementia, depression, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So we've had people who came in who are schizophrenic, or older people especially, who showed signs of schizophrenia along with some of the things. And everybody's just saying, well, grandpa's getting old. Mm-hmm. We need to put him in a nursing home, and he's real cantankerous in there and not doing well. And all of a sudden, if we give him the niacin, then all of a sudden grandpa comes back to who grandpa should be.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was doing was he was just having signs of pellagra. Because of the poor niacin in his system. Weakness, fatigue, anorexia. nausea. Canker sores can come from low niacin also. Confusion. Halitosis.
Bad breath
can be a niacin deficiency. So we've had people who were showing up all these signs, and we said, wow, you know, niacin, let's give that a try. And all of a sudden, people started to get back to where they needed to be. Headaches, indigestion, insomnia, the irritability, limb pains is a big sign of the niacin. And tryptophan is also another way. You know when they talk about tryptophan as a mood elevator?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tryptophan is a precursor to niacin. So to be able to make niacin, tryptophan is an important part of that, to be able to make it. So you're also talking about that aspect to it. And then it's very good for regulating cholesterol. So it increases your HDL and decreases your very low low lipids. So, you know, the dense ones. So getting that into your system, niacin, is one of the things that we like to give people for hyperlipidemia.
Okay.
And we can see some
important. All these B vitamins are so important. So what are sources of niacin in the diet?
Well, guess. I'll give you one guess. What would be a good way?
Organ meats.
Organ meats. Especially liver has the highest
liver.
Amount. You know, we should be doing an advertisement for cattle producers for liver. Maybe they'll get a better price.
I think people come in for the capsules.
Everybody's coming in for the capsules. But we give a lot of liver capsules to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many things that we solve.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we've seen with people with the B vitamins is it wasn't going as well with, let's say that we found that we had four different B vitamins that were that somebody was low on.
Mm-hmm.
And we supplemented them and found that they really didn't move. If I throw the liver in there, all of a sudden things start to move. It seems to just really work quite well. Peanuts, good source of niacin. Fish, yeast, again, brewer's yeast. Poultry, legumes, milk, eggs, whole grains, and orange juice. One of the things is that if you have beer with good brewer's yeast, no sugar added in it, it's actually pretty good for you. Because you got the brewer's yeast, and then you've also got, if it's made with whole grains, it's like a super source of B vitamins.
You're saying beer can be good for you.
Beer can be actually very good for you if it's made right.
Mm-hmm.
And then orange juice.
You're making me thirsty, actually. That sounds good.
And
I know when we hit vitamin C, that's going to be
a very big one along those lines. Yes, but those are good sources of niacin. Very important part of what we're working with.
And then what is the optimal intake of niacin?
50 to 100 milligrams.
Okay. It's a little higher on that.
Yes, it is.
Is there any toxicity in taking niacin?
Yes. One of the things is there's something called a niacin flush.
Oh, yeah.
So if you take too much niacin, it feels like you have a hot flush.
Okay.
And people get all worried, oh, I'm allergic to it. And we try to warn them. I said, well, I warned you beforehand that niacin actually can give you sort of like a hot flush. That's okay. You just drink a lot of water and it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll kind of regulate it that way. But you can, if you're taking about 500 milligrams, you can also damage the liver. So you do need to be careful. That would be one of the B vitamins that could actually be a problem by taking too much.
Now, does it help hot flashes too?
No, there are other things for that. But yes, that's, oh yeah, I had one woman that was coming in for hot flashes. We gave her niacin. She was having she said, my flashes have increased. What are you doing to me? So we had to explain it to her and then regulate it accordingly.
Regulate it because it can create that.
Yes.
All right, Dr. Prather, we just have about 10 seconds to wrap it up.
All right. Well, again, we're on the course on all these vitamins, so stay tuned and you'll learn a lot more. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.